Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
One of the results of the current pandemic is, of course, the fact that gigs and festivals have been cancelled across the board. Well, Mads Langer, that's right, that's his name, Mads Langer, a Danish singer, he didn't let that deter him, because you know what he did? He wanted to try and make people happy and to continue performing. And he hadn't been able to do that, of course, since early March. So he staged a drive-in concert in the outskirts of Aarhus in Denmark, which meant performing to a field full of cars, basically. And he's on the line now. Mads, how you doing? Are you all right?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, very good indeed. Let's take a look at this. How was it performing to an audience of cars?
At first it was very awkward, to be honest, because, you know, when I entered the stage, people were blowing their horns. And, you know, obviously you're used to people applauding, you know, playing regular shows. So it was very strange to begin with, but I mean, in the end, it turned out to be very special and a moment that I'll never forget.
Yeah, I've seen the photos online. They look fantastic. This brilliant kind of big vista of a car park full of cars. Yeah. You're on stage, yeah, on this big stage. And then behind them is this beautiful sort of sea and lovely sort of cliff kind of stuff. Is Aarhus, it's obviously a coastal town, is it?
Yeah, it was a beautiful scenery. I mean, behind me was the forest and in front of me the ocean. So yeah, it was just, yeah, it was very...
Okay, well, let's
special.
Take a look about the cars themselves. I mean, like, I know that people use the phrase socially distancing all the time, which I think is ridiculous. It's kind of physical distancing is what people want. So did the cars, yeah, did the cars have to be either socially or physically distanced?
Yeah, I mean, there were many things that we had to, you know, take into the picture when we arranged this show. But I think the main thing that we succeeded doing was not pushing the capacity. So basically, we took like a regular festival field that normally takes like 20 to 30,000 people, and then we put in 500 cars to make sure that there was plenty of space around each car so they could safely, you know, drive out in case of an emergency or something like that.
All right, of course, yeah. And would the windows have been closed and they would have been tuned into an FM like a drive-in movie, or did they have their windows open and listening to you, whatever you were doing from the stage?
Yeah, so they were listening to my music on the car stereo.
Yeah.
And but they were allowed to roll down the left side windows. So some people would wave out of the left side window and maybe have a look out. But the sound was coming from the car stereos. No sound from stage apart from my monitors.
All right. So the only one getting sound really was you in terms of the stage, and the rest was just hooked into FM radio.
Yeah. And that was obviously also very strange for me being on a huge festival stage and having no PA playing.
You know? Hold on a second. Like, you're standing on a stage playing to all these people and all these cars, and the only sound is your monitors to you. There's no sound going out of any big speaker. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so obvious question then. You know, like, how did you know? Did they honk their horns? Like, at the end of every track or in the end of every song, how did you know whether or not the audience was enjoying the gig?
Well, you know, I could tell from the very beginning of the concert that people were having a good time. I think, first of all, people were just happy to get out and do something social. But I also think that everybody was a little bit like holding back in the beginning to see how are we going to do this. But yeah, people were blowing their horns when I entered the stage. And then, you know, I suggested that they, if they liked the song, they could potentially wave their windscreen wipers and you know, then people would take matters into their own hands, and when they were really excited, they were also using like the windscreen washer. So
I love it. So
there were loads of funny little moments there, but I mean, I feel like the concert became magical when I started implanting the Zoom conference that was happening on the show. I had a big screen as the backdrop of the stage, and every car could attend the Zoom conference if they wanted to. So I started after a couple of songs to tune in to different cars so their image would come up on the big screen and everybody could see their faces on the big screen and hear the sound. And I would start talking to them about, like, so what do you do for a living? How are you affected by the crisis? Stuff like that. And then I would end asking them if they had a song request, and that was very special, because in you know, regular concerts, you play your song, you tell a few lines about why you wrote this song or stuff like that, and then people will applaud or maybe shout out something short and sweet. But here I got to have like a real conversation in the concert, and they would tell me why they wanted this specific song. And that was just special.
Wow. Okay. Any kind of, did you get carried away at all? Any stage diving onto the nearest bonnet of a Hyundai or anything like that? No.
Well, obviously not. But I decided that I'm going to start stage diving when I come back to playing the real concerts again, because I obviously missed being closer to my audience.
Yeah, this is the whole thing, of course. All right, so I mean, the highlights of the gig was actually being able to interact and talk with the audience on the big screen, and then play a request or whatever it happens to be. What kind of people were there? Is it like curious types or festival sort of starved types or old, young, what?
Well, I think it was a beautiful mix of everybody. So, you know, it was like high school students. You know, I talked to, there was a car with a granddaughter and her grandfather. He was like 90 years old, and he told me that he hadn't been to a show for like 25 years, and he was curious to see what it was. You know, that was, so it was for everybody, you know, and that was funny.
Like, this was a big, what? Was it a place where festivals or where concerts might happen? Was it like a huge car park?
It was a big car park, but I'm not sure whether they host festivals there, but it felt like it could be a square there where people would have festivals anyway.
And where did you get the idea for the drive-in festival concert thing in the first place?
Well, you know, I was in the middle of a European tour that I had looked forward to for a long time when I had the call from my team that I was going to turn the tour bus around from Germany and drive back to Denmark. And, you know, at first it was obviously very depressing because, you know, I live and breathe for playing my music and being on the road. So when something from the outside comes and just takes away, you know, everything from you, it's obviously like shocking. But after a couple of days, I really, you know, I got out of bed and I decided to try and turn this whole thing into some sort of an adventure. So I started writing down ideas of what I could do. And, you know, at first I did a home concert that many people have done, like from my music room in my house. And secondly, I was going to end my European tour in Copenhagen in a big arena here. And I had looked very much forward to that because it was the biggest gig of my career so far. So I decided to play the gig anyway, but in an empty arena. And I streamed the concert on a national newspaper on their website here in Denmark. And then that one thing led to the other. On my list of ideas, I also had the drive-in concept of, you know, a potential way of playing a concert. And after the empty arena gig, I started looking more seriously into the opportunity of doing a drive-in concert. And I had some friends in Aarhus who are doing events on a regular basis, and they were up for the idea, and they did a tremendous work to make this happen.
And besides yourself, like, did you have roadies? Did you have people looking after the monitors? Were people sort of directing the traffic?
I mean, in Denmark, we are allowed to gather up to 10 people at this point. So there would be 10 people on stage. So that would be like a monitor guy and two camera guys and the guy who was editing the big screen. There was people there, but it was a huge stage. I mean, it was like a Coachella type of
Yeah, no, I've seen the pictures. It's huge. Yeah, it really is huge. Also, you need plenty of room for cars to get in and out, of course, as well. How many people were allowed to be? Was there a capacity? Like, could you have 20 people in a car?
No, so up to 5, but I think people mostly were like 2 to 4. Some people brought their dogs as well, so I don't know how many dogs you were allowed to fit into the car. But no, I mean, obviously that was also one of the funny moments, that I was standing like alone with my guitar on such a big stage, you know. Yeah. Normally I would have a full band there, so I felt a little small.
What kind of music do you play?
So I come from like a singer-songwriter background. So it's, you know, and then, you know, I've produced music in like more pop ways and like some more indie, but it's, you know, every song that I write is supposed to be good on an acoustic guitar or a piano.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like a strange thing for me to play in that type of format. It was more the fact that I was alone on such a big stage in front of like an ocean of cars.
Right. You know, I'm not going to go into the details here, but you do have a name that people in Ireland, certainly in Cork, would just find so funny. I mean, your name is Mads Langer.
Yeah.
So it's too hard to explain why that's funny over here. So I'll go on to something else here. Mads Langer.
Why? I want to know.
Oh, listen, no, I'm not going to start. I'm not going into details. I'll tell you what, we'll ring you back at the end of the program and I'll try and... I'll get a Cork person to ring you, for God's sake. Anyway, by the way, I mean, like, considering, like, I'm in Dublin at the moment, Copenhagen, you mentioned, would the town that you've done it in, would that be the kind of second biggest town? Isn't it known as the Copenhagen's little sister, kind of?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, this is a beautiful city. And also, I think, you know, the local authorities there were just so helpful. And, you know, Aarhus was, I think, the culture city of Europe in
2017. Yeah, that's right. Culture city a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So they're known for being, like, very supportive of culture and arts. So I think that was one of the key... points of how we could make this happen in such a short amount of time.
Okay, and but was the concert, or is the concert, can it be seen? Like, was it streamed?
No, I mean, this wasn't streamed. There was obviously a lot of media there, but I'm actually starting a drive-in tour on Wednesday.
Brilliant.
So next gig is in Copenhagen. And I just did an interview with a Japanese TV station, and they asked the same question. And I decided, like half an hour ago, that I want to stream it. So I gotta find a way of doing that. I haven't figured out how yet.
I'm pretty sure you will find a way to do it. All right. So you will do it again. It will happen. And the lockdown, by the way, finally, how has it affected you personally?
Well, I think it's been a roller coaster of ups and downs because I haven't slept in my own bed for like 2 months straight in, say, 12 years. So that has been really nice to be able to really like dive into the domestic life in a way that I haven't done in a long time. Obviously, from a more like serious financial standpoint, it's tough because... You know, as an artist, I make 2 year plans, and 2 years budget.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously, when you take away 90% of your income in a year, from one day to the other, it's a shock, and you got to find a new way of making money, and that is stressful. But I really try to not break down in depression, and instead of that, just trying to see it as an opportunity to do stuff that I haven't done before.
All right. Well, I would encourage people to go and look at the photo on what do you call it? Google. It's there. It's on. I'm not sure YouTube, but it's somewhere there. I saw it there. It's just drive-in festivals and Mads Langer in Denmark. It's fantastic. It looks great. So listen. Good luck with the tour.
Thank you.
I hope it goes well, and your album that'll be coming out at some stage as well. Mads, it's been a pleasure. Good man yourself. Thank you very much for talking
to us
on the programme today.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck.
My pleasure.
Mads Langer. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.